I forgot to start the conference recording. So now we're 5 minutes into the show, and we at least have to say hello to everybody who's listening on replay that you missed the most amazing first 5 minutes of the show. So we're dancing with life here. You missed the whole setup, but you're just going to have to dance along with us as you listen. It's Carol Lillip. With
we're
Susan
making
K.
changes.
Wyatt.
We've made changes. We've made changes here on the show. We have a new title of the show. We're no longer From Scared to Sacred. We're Dancing with Life, and we're no longer on Blog Talk Radio. We're on Instant Teleseminar. So it's a whole different setup, and we're trying to embrace the change that is all that. But apparently,
Carol missed a step. So. Okay, we do the ba-dum-bum, and we come back. We're talking about change. We're talking about embracing change, resisting change, changes like the David Bowie song.
I want to remind everyone that we are live on the Facebook page, the event page, which has been changed to the Dancing with Life Radio with Carol Woodliff and Susan K. Wyatt. So Dancing with Life Radio. That's on the Facebook page, and you can ask questions there, or if you want to make a comment, or you want to post something that has to do with the topic, or you just want to say, hi, I'm listening, or I'm sorry, I'm missing it, I'll have to catch it later, minus the first 10 minutes of the show. Whatever you want to do, join us there. There's a great group of people that join us there during the show, and then that page stays open and people are still chatting, or you can call in. The call-in numbers are on that page. Let's see. Oh, and if you want to call in... So who's listening? They could be listening through their computer, but if they were listening on the phone, didn't they already call in, Carol? I just want to know why I'm getting
people. If they listened on the phone, they already called in. They need to press star 2 if they want to raise their hand to talk to us.
Oh, there you go. That's the information that we needed earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
On the phone, it's star 2. That will tell us that you have a comment you want to share with us. If you are on the listening via web, you can post a question on the Facebook event page, or you could go get your phone and dial in and do that if you wanted to chat with us. So this is one of those Dancing with Life moments. We're learning the new format. We're embracing change. We always know that sometimes you just have to say yes. I had an experience of saying yes on Monday. I had a phone call from a friend of a friend who is shooting a pilot for the History Channel, and she explained it to me as she was shooting a show that was about kind of then and now of certain practices. So she was like, I'd love to come shoot a fire ceremony with you. And she had actually called a week before when I was doing my full moon fire ceremony, and I was like, I wasn't comfortable having that shot because I hadn't pre-gotten the people who were attending's permission, and I keep those fire ceremonies to me are very sacred. They're time for people to join in community, so I didn't want filming. So I said, if you want to come film next week, I'll do a ceremony for you, and then I'll invite people, and if they want to come, they'll know it's happening. She said, no, 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 don't invite people. We'll just come. We'll just shoot it. It'll be better. I'm like, okay. So they show up, and they're like, okay, well, we've got to get changed, the two women who are going to be the hosts. And the one woman changes into a Wonder Woman costume.
Mm.
And I'm sitting there wondering what we are shooting.
Gee, Carol, I don't have words for this right now. So Wonder Woman is at the fire.
So we've got Wonder Woman and another woman dressed up in a black cape, and we're talking about vampires.
Huh.
And I was like, this is not energy vampires I can speak to.
Yeah.
But the mythology of vampires, I can wing it. But then they were asking me whether I thought vampires had fashion sense.
My daughter thinks so.
And I just was like, oh, what have I gotten into? But the good thing is I knew that this was what they call in Hollywood terms a pitch pilot, which means you're pitching your idea to the network. It's not something that's going to air.
Right.
And the beautiful thing about that, they shot some amazing footage of me working with the fire, tending the fire, that I'll be able to use video-wise for my own website. So it's all win, 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 win. But there was that moment where everything got changed. My vision of what this event was going to be like, you know, totally went out the window when Wonder Woman showed up. So I needed to either embrace the change and go with it and have fun with it, or I could have, you know, called a halt to the whole thing. But there was no reason for me to call a halt to it, so it was like this funny moment of like, okay, this isn't what I thought I was going to be doing.
Well, you know what, that talking about those kinds of changes, not like major life changes, but just plans. You know, you planned on doing something and you show up and the restaurant's closed, or you planned on doing something and that road's closed, or you planned on doing this and something came up. I think, you know, how we embrace those things as they come up and how we say, okay, plan B or plan C, how good are we at really doing that? And I think it depends on whether you have a really heavy-duty preconceived notion about what you want to happen as opposed to, you know, being open to what will happen or what could happen, and not being so attached to outcomes or attached to things being a certain way. I think that gets in our way of eventually making the major changes.
And I think we practice with some of these smaller things.
Yes.
Like I looked at it and thought, okay, I'm being asked to talk on my feet about the mythological tracking of vampires. Like, where did vampires come from? What space do they hold for us? You know, all of that. What are they holding for us as archetypes? You know, what's the energy about that? And I had to speak off the top of my head, you know, maybe with a lighting adjustment, just a minute to think about what I was going to talk about.
Wow.
And that, if you were asking me to talk about my shamanic practice itself, you know, in that area, I would have no problem talking off the top of my head, but I didn't plan on talking about vampires. So life throws us a lot of those things, and the more comfortable we can get and the more we can go, okay, change of plans. Is this important? Is there a problem? You know, what can I do? And just go with it. The people who are able to roll with those changes and see the opportunities in them are so much able to tackle the bigger things too, because we practice with the little things.
Yeah.
So
and you can tell a lot. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they handle things that come up. The small things, you know, like they always talk about with spouses and everything. And I know that my husband pretty much is. He's just even. He's very even when different things go wrong. You wouldn't even know something went wrong. He just kind of keeps going, and, well, okay, we'll just go over here then. It's like, and it's great to be around someone with that energy because it allows everyone to relax. And so it's made me a more relaxed person because I don't come from that energy. I come from the hyperactivity of everything needs to be a certain way. And I have shifted out of that tremendously over my lifetime. And a lot of it has to do with being with him, which is great. So if you're surrounded by people who are freaking out all the time, you might want to examine that because it's not helping you.
And I think one of the things in one of my former lives, I managed people in law firms, and I was being project management, administration, getting the right bodies into the right jobs so that all the tasks could happen. And I realized, well, if I walked in stressed, if everyone else was already stressed, I was just adding to it. If I walked in with the attitude of, we can figure it out, it's going to be okay, what do you need, then everybody relaxed. So I think sometimes when we can say that joke that goes around, a lot of people say it, well, that happened. But really, you know, it is, we start fighting what is, and a change happens, and whether it be catastrophic or you got caught in traffic and you had to take a detour, that happened. and really just acknowledging that it happened rather than fighting the fact that why should there, you know, I wish they hadn't decided to do construction on my freeway and detour me off the freeway at midnight or whatever it is. It's a life skill, and it's part of that dance I was talking about where you're like, okay, I really don't dance hip-hop, but that's the music playing at the wedding. And
well, you did,
you know,
that night.
Yeah, I did.
I know. I mean, it was back. Yeah, that dance party that we had was the dance off. Well, yeah, it was like a competition where nobody actually won, and we ended up doing a conga line around my living room, which was pretty funny. But you know what? Being able to embrace life and have fun helps with the major changes. And we're talking about if you're here, you are wanting to make the most out of your life, which is why we're in conversation, is really to enjoy it to its fullest and to express your talents in their fullest capacity to be the full you that you need to be. And that's where your happiness is. And when you start to get super uncomfortable or you're starting to get really, really unhappy, a lot of times it's because you need to move forward. You need to say goodbye to old things and you need to move forward. And it is just not an easy thing to do because you have a loop. You've got a pattern. And, you know, it goes along even with relationships. You leave a bad relationship because you're so used to it. You find that same person in another person and you really haven't made a change. You took the whole thing with you. So it's hard for people. It's hard for people, all of us, to make those big changes. But I think the key is, again, surrounding yourself with people who can make those changes with you, and also, you know, being gentle with yourself about it. But you know, making sure that
help when you're stuck, because there's a thing that like, there's three types of people. There's people who seem to be pretty balanced and know how to handle change and just do it, and you know, they've got some good genetics. And then there's people who, you know, get into like therapy and they make their changes. I'm going to end up with six types of people. But there's some people who get into and they just keep trying to heal. And they never actually do anything from the healing, and they just keep thinking they have to do more healing and more healing, where sometimes the most healing thing you can do is to take that action step that puts you out of your comfort zone, that makes you go forward, and then you can deal with the next layers of things that need to heal. But you can't heal without actually stepping forward and trying to expand at the same time. When I talk about going big, you know, it's the analogy I always use when I'm speaking is you don't learn how to dive off a diving board in the deep end of a pool by getting some therapy and watching it over and over and over again on a video and then magically become, you know, Greg Louganis, or I don't even know who the new, you know, wonderful divers are. But you don't become that by thinking about it. Your mental game or thinking about it, your visual rehearsal can help, but you have to dive off the diving board. You have to risk the belly flop. You have to do that, and that's really in life. It's just a different analogy. Went from dancing to diving, but it's sort of the same thing. You have to, as a dancer, I know Chloe, the wonderful young woman who was at our dance-off, spent years in the dance studio practicing and practicing and practicing.
That's all she does. It's what she lives for that. She's been doing it since she was born, and she does it so many hours a day you would not even believe. It is really, she is an example of somebody who's truly living in her gift and is completely dedicated to it. Very inspiring, truly inspiring young woman, yeah, for sure.
So this whole change thing and wanting to do changes, we sometimes need help. Sometimes we are trying to move forward and we're really stuck and we need a therapist, a healer, a friend, someone to help us. And other times we just need to go. And it is that dance between, you know, we can be so in our brains and thinking through it, and the only thing that will take you through it is to do it. And
Carol, that's been my problem, and of course you know that. I've thought it every which way. I could possibly think it. I've overthought it. I've underthought it. I've over and under it. I've over and overed it. And it's the moving forward piece, and that's why I was doing small things in my life to clear out stuff, to start my body and my whole space and the whole idea of me into moving, so that I could move forward and move into it. And that, you know, making those big changes, and especially if you've done big things before, and then when you came to the end of a big project, you thought it was going to go to someplace else, and maybe it didn't quite go there. And then you're left going, okay, now what do I do? That seems to be the things that happen with me. I do something, I complete it, I figure it out, and then I can't figure out where it's supposed to go next. And then there's no energy behind it. And it's almost like it was an exercise, but I'm not doing the thing I'm supposed to be doing yet. So then what happens is I this next thing that comes up for me that I think is the thing I'm supposed to be doing, now I'm afraid to go into that. I'm like, well, I don't want to try that, because if I do that, then it's going to, the same thing's going to happen again. So if anybody is listening and can relate to that, that's post a comment. Give me some props. Give me a high five on the Facebook page. I need a phone.
I'd really like to know. I'm going to post this on the Facebook page, and if anybody's listening, and what kind of changes do you struggle with? Everybody has different things that are in their comfort zone and out of their comfort zone. I know for me, if it's something that I can intellectually figure out, I'm much more easy to do it. I'm much more timid about jumping off a diving board, so to speak, like the physical stuff, because in growing up, my parents said to me, oh, no, dear, we're not athletic people, we're smart people. So I had this programming in my past.
Nice.
That I was a total klutz, and that I didn't have any athletic skill, but I got affirmation of my ability to figure it out intellectually. So
wow.
I'm posting, what kind of changes do you struggle with on the event page, just to see if anybody who's listening who doesn't want to call in and talk might want to share what type of change you're trying to make in your life, something that you want to make a change, or a project you want to get going that you just haven't gotten traction on, so we can talk specifically to some particular types of changes.
Well, you know, one I think that a lot of people share, Carol, especially if you're growing older and different health issues come up, is dietary changes. I mean, my dad had the stents put in his heart, and now my mom's got him on a strict diet, and he lost 20, 30 pounds or something, and he feels really great, but he can't eat anything. Yes, I mean, the stuff that he's eating, I look at it and I go, oh, my God, he's eating cardboard now. But he got scared into that change. If he did not almost die, he would not have made that change. And I think that's what happens to people we don't need to get into a whole food thing here if you don't want to, but I'm just saying that's something that I think we all commonly deal with, because – you know, we're trying to eat healthier, we're trying to make healthier choices. Even if you're not trying to lose weight, if you're just trying to be healthier, if you want to be more fit, or if you want to be more active, or if you're run down, and we just have learned so much about what's good for us and what's not good for us. But, you know, if you've been, you know, eating the same foods, it's really, really hard to make a change.
Well, and it's also really interesting, because sometimes changes are, like your father, were forced on you, and
yeah,
people can't even make them then. I want to give kudos to your dad and your mom, because he's actually making the changes. So that is really great. But it's also like when you started saying getting really old, I was just thinking about all the foods that I used to eat easily as a kid. And now I'm like, yeah, I don't think I should eat that, because it's not going to agree with me.
I hate when I say that, because I feel like an old lady, because I feel like my mom or my grandma used to say that. And I'm like, well, I can't eat that. You know, we just had a post on the event page. Christina Chaparro said career changes, and I happen to know her very, very well. And that's been something that's been coming up for her, that she's not quite sure where things are going to go with that yet. And I can relate in a way, because I've been a singer my whole life and a performer, and it has come to my attention, and this is what I'm writing my books about, is that I am a book author and a speaker and a motivational speaker and a person who is more involved in the healing arts and the change arts, And music could be a part of that, but it's not the whole enchilada. And so me trying to wrap my mind around, you know, thinking to myself, I could be this now, but still incorporate that. But it's like so I'm kind of in the career change, and I have not been doing a good job with it at all. I'm not doing a very good job. And we have somebody, Charity Perro, says change in general, especially commitment. Oh, commitment. I hate commitment. No, it's not. I don't hate commitment. What do I hate? I don't know. I don't know. I just want to, you know, put my feet in the sand and put my head in the sand. How about that?
I just typed to her, commitment to the change or relationship commitment? Changes in relationship. I think she means commitment to the change, but we will find out if Charity responds back to my query. On the career changes, I think one of the things that also happens when you've been at a career for a certain period of time and you're really good at it and you're really comfortable at it, and then you're doing something new or you're looking for something new, and that new thing doesn't feel as comfortable at all as the old career. I know I knew law firms. I worked in law firms for over close to 30 years. I don't even really feel that old. But I like have done that for a long time. And I know how to walk in and do project management. And I find myself sometimes, instead of stepping into some of the new things I would need to do for my healing career, I fall back into those old skills. Well, I'll just make a project and I'll manage the project really well, but that's not the thing that's going to catapult me into the new me. So I
right.
have to be really careful not to fall back into my comfort zone of how to work. When I first started going out into my own business and I started doing networking groups, and everybody wanted me to run their networking group for them. Oh, will you be the president of the networking group? And
that's
I was
what
like,
you do, Carol.
That's what I do. And I was like, oh, sure, because it feels really comfortable and I'm really good at it. Then after a while I went, this isn't helping me. I'm just switching from being a law firm manager to a networking manager, but I'm so focused on getting all the parts to the meeting and the catering done and all that, I'm not networking my own business.
Well, you know what? I think that one of the things that Christina's talking about, which is a little different than that, is
right.
the career that she happens to be in is a marketing career in an industry that's changing, mm-hmm. and it's the ability for her to make a living has dramatically changed. And so she's an amazing, very creative marketer. She is that front woman that goes in and makes the rain. She is such an amazing person. And that skill that she has could translate into anything that she could do. And I think she got so comfortable, and she loves the company that she's with, and she loves what she's doing so much that it's hard for her to think, where else could she possibly go? I think this happens to a lot of people because of the way business has changed, because of the way what the internet has brought to us, and what, you know, there's so many different things that have made business models that no longer work for certain things. I know a friend of mine was a headhunter, and he had a really lucrative business, and then all of a sudden online people were doing their own headhunting, and corporations were doing it in a different way, and so it made that job, you know, almost obsolete. And so it was like, where did that profession go? So there are certain changes that happen in the world that make things very difficult to see past where, you know, where do I take this? Where do I take this gift that I have, you know? And so just holding that in sacred space, I'm holding that in sacred space for Christina right now, knowing that all of the gifts that she does possess and all of her talents and everything that she has done over the past, I don't know how many years, it's been many, many years that she's been at it, that she is so incredibly qualified for the next opportunity that's going to be so wonderful. And I hold that for anybody who's listening today. I just want to tell you that whatever you're thinking about or it's something you can't even imagine yet, you know, we hold sacred space for you. We hold the space for you to say, you know what, if you think about it and you just understand that it's going to happen, it's possible, and what you do will translate. You will find the right thing. You just have to trust that. and be around the positiveness of people who trust that and see those qualities in you, and something will come up and there's a great adventure ahead. I do believe that.
And I think it goes back to the thing we have some themes that we always talk about. FK just hit on the peeps. You know, surround yourself with the people. Find your people. We hope that the show is part of your people and a place where you get the positive inspiration to come and that. Another thing is to ask, meaning ask the universe. I need to know where to go next, because I do believe, as SK was talking about, the world has changed so much. The business communities have changed so much. The old way of us saying, okay, well, you have these skills and that automatically translates to this job and you'll stay in this job till you retire with a nice little pension package, and that doesn't exist anymore. No. And where we go with our skills. I was actually writing about this earlier today. I'm teaching two writing groups, and I'm using the time when I have writers writing to write myself. And one of the questions that came up for me is, in all these changes we have right now, if you look around the world, there's so much that needs to get done. There's not a lack of work. There's not a lack of need. It's like we're not matching what's going on with, like, the jobs. And so,
wow, that's a really great point.
You know, it's like I walk down the street, I'm like, there's potholes that need to be fixed, there's this that needs to happen, there's all this stuff that I could, you know, look at around me that needs to happen, and yet there's all these people out of work, and we're not, the resources, the jobs, everything isn't coming together. So we can't fix that individually, and when you're an individual looking for a job, I think the more we can tune into that spirit side, the sacred side that was in the shifting from scared to sacred in our old show title, and go, okay, where should I go? Please help me find the people, the experiences. Help me bump into that person I haven't seen for 10 years in the supermarket who will have an opportunity for me, or whatever that coincidence synchronicity is that can help me be of service and help me use my talents to be happy.
Magic begin, I say. And I want to tell you that one of the things I'd like to recommend is something that I know that Carol does every day, and I've been wanting to do it every day, but I haven't been doing it, is making time to meditate. And there have been so many studies about it. I mean, just look on the internet. And something popped up on my screen last week about transcendental meditation. And it's weird how these things pop up when I'm thinking about things, but I was thinking about just being in the silence and making myself sit down. And I have done that the past several days, and it has made all the difference in the world for me personally. And you don't have to do it a long time. Today I did it for half an hour. I could have sat there all day. I swear it felt so good. It was like, oh, I like this. I don't want to get up and go anywhere. But If you set an intention that you are going to have that focus and that peace, that inner peace and the inner knowing and just that sense of well-being, it really is good for your health. It's good for your blood pressure. It's good for so many. I mean, you look up all the benefits of meditation. And as I was asking Carol about transcendental meditation, Carol's like, well, you don't need to do all that, SK. Just sit down. You're fine. And she was absolutely right. So you don't need to go learn about it. Just sit your butt down. Just to sitting your butt down, and that's a commitment. And if you've never done it before, that's a change that you might have to commit to. And if you commit to it, and I've known people who committed to meditation or some other kind of practice that really changed their lives over time when they looked back and said, "Wow, you know." And it's incremental though, but that's something that you can do if you're confused. Just sit and listen and be in the silence and go into that space.
You can't get to the silence, which is what a lot of people think they're failing at meditation, because they can't sit still and their brain's just going. Then you want to switch to just a noticing, a mindfulness meditation, meaning I notice my brain's worrying. I notice that I'm thinking about my grocery list. I notice and really start disconnecting from the automatic, because the minute you start labeling for yourself, the part that's watching is a different part than the part that's spinning. And eventually you can separate those two. When I learned to meditate, I created my own form. I called it an adult timeout. I had a big white overstuffed chair. I put on some Native American flute music because I like that music. It's always very peaceful to me. It's probably a past life thing. I sat in the chair, and my only thing was I had to sit for 15 minutes and listen to the music, and I couldn't get out of the chair.
Wow.
And that was my only, you know, I could move, I could open my eyes, I could close my eyes, but I had to sit in the chair for 15 minutes, which is why I called it my adult timeout. Because, and then I started being able to soften and sink into it. So I do agree that having that kind of practice can really help us with change. And Charity on the event page was talking about having problems with commitment. And because that in and of itself is a change. You know,
right.
Committing to what you want, committing to sitting in that chair, and sometimes it's even like, I don't even know what I want. We get in this place where we can't commit to anything because there's a couple options, and we're like the kid sitting at the ice cream store, and we're looking at flavors, and we're like, I don't know, I could do this, or I could do that, I could, you know, go off and try for this career, I could do that, you know, and we have all these different options, and we don't know what to commit to. And at that point, it's sort of like you have to make a choice and know that at a certain point by committing to that choice, even if 5 steps down the road you go, oh, I want to back up and go do the other thing, at
right.
least you've taken some forward motion and you are committing to the change. You're committing to making some changes, and the universe will meet you there, and the path, you don't always have to back up. You just see another fork in the road, and you're like, no, I really want to explore that other thing, and you go off and do that. Sometimes saying yes to anything and taking a positive action forward just is the break in the logjam that we need to move forward. So we
right.
just need to say yes to something and move forward to make that change. And commitment doesn't mean if you screw up and let's say you're committing to exercise or you're committing to healthy eating or you're committing to that meditation or whatever you're committing to, just because you screwed up once and didn't do it today doesn't mean you've lost your commitment. You just commit again if you're wanting to make the change. And that's, I think, where a lot of us get, you know, screwed up, is we think, okay, well, I wanted to make that change. I made a commitment, and then I didn't do it for 2 days, so therefore I can't do this, where it really is the continuing to show up and the continuing to come back. To kind of go back to the writer's group, my book took me 4 years, and there were lots of starts and stops to getting that book out the door. There were times I didn't write. There were times where I just pushed it all away. But there was enough of a long-term commitment that after 6 weeks where I didn't do anything, I'd be like, ah, I got to get back to the book. So commitment doesn't just mean every day. It means like the long term. What are you in for the long term?
Yeah. No, I know about the long-term book thing. That's part of my waffling back and forth about, well, what am I? I'm supposed to be sitting at the piano. No, I'm supposed to be singing. No, I'm supposed to be writing the book. And you might think that you could do them all, and then there's a part of me that, you know, there's a lot of energy that gets expended when you're creatively involved in something. That is really difficult to do everything all at once. And so that's the other thing. If you're like that and you've got too many options, you definitely need to sit and meditate on which one truly is the obvious one that's come up for you. And I know which one's come up for me, and I have a renewed sense of that and a renewed sense of who I am and what I'm here for and what I'm capable of doing. And then the other thing I want to bring up that, you know, happens, and I don't know if anybody wants to bring this up, but sometimes when we're older, like I'm almost 50, I'll be 50 this year, you know, the old school way of thinking is that you can't do things when you're older, or your career is supposed to end at a certain time and you retire. In the Midwest, that's the way it works, and that's the mentality. But that's not the way we are anymore. Society isn't that way anymore. People are healthier. They're living longer. People who are older know more. They've got more wonderful experience a lot of times. So if you're one of those people who thinks that they're too, you know, ah, I can't do that, I'm too old, well, you know, you continuing to tell yourself that is not going to be helping. And I've done that. Carol's done that. Christina, I mean, whoever's, anybody can say, you know, you've had those thoughts. And the thing is that that doesn't have to be true. I mean, if you want to be a child television star and you're 47, then that's probably not going to happen for you.
Or the prima ballerina on the, you know, New York American Ballet Theater.
Oh, crap. My whole ballet dream has just gone down the tubes. Thanks, Carol.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to burst your bubble. You know what, SK? I don't know whether we've ever actually had you talk just so briefly to give people the pitch of the book you're working on, because I think people would be really interested in that. So if you can do the couple-minute version on the book that's going to be coming out this year, because I'm going to make you commit to talking about it so that people can get excited about supporting you.
Thank you, Carol.
Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. I know I am.
That's okay. But you know what? It really does have to do with the topic today, because the change...
Yeah.
There has been a change that has been occurring with me, and I have been the person who's been on this healing journey, a healing journey for the past, I'm going to say, 20 years, and then very specifically in the past couple of years, I've been really taking the healing journey to a new level, trying to figure out how I can move forward and what I want to do, because I have so many options of things that I'm capable of doing. And when my daughter was born, that's Elizabeth, who's 12 now, she's almost 13, something changed, something shifted in me. I had a change. I became a parent. It was the biggest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And I wanted to give her the tools that I never had. And so all of a sudden it was about me trying to be a better person for her, not just to give her the tools, but to give myself the things that I hadn't given myself. I wanted to be a success because I wanted to be a success so that she could see what it looked like. I wanted to be that, and I still do. And so, my first book idea was Skip the Princess, Raise the Queen, because I'm not raising an entitled princess. I'm raising a girl who's going to be the queen of her own domain. And that doesn't mean that she's a crown, and that doesn't mean that, you know, it's all about sequins and whatever, and it's not about entitlement. It really is about being the, you know, ruling your own world and really knowing who you are and having the tools to go out and lead people and to do something good in the world from where you are, from what your talents are. And what happened was when I was 21 years old, I went to the Miss America pageant as Miss Ohio. And that two-year experience for me from entering a pageant to going to Miss America pageant, I was not a pageant girl, but it changed me. A change happened in me that I wasn't expecting, and it was that speaking in front of girls and empowering and inspiring them and telling them my story and telling them that they could do it too and telling them where I came from. You know, I didn't come from an entitled family, and, you know, what they could accomplish and telling them how wonderful they are and just seeing their faces light up. It changed my life. And so that never went away. And so my passion for doing music was not as great as my passion for empowering young women. Now, I have empowered people with my music. That's true. So it turns out that the book that I'm writing right now is called Deconstructing Miss America, because I don't believe that the Miss America pageant represents all women. It certainly doesn't represent the people that I see, who are some of the most amazing, beautiful women I know, who do not look like a cookie-cutter Barbie doll. And even I always say, I know a woman, and she's married to my husband's son, Chris. Her name is Christina. She's a therapist, and she is in a wheelchair. And she doesn't look like any of those gals that are up on that stage, but she is one of the prettiest, smartest, most amazing women I've ever met, and I just want to put a crown on her head because she's Miss America to me. And so my book really does take Miss America to task. But I say that the girls need all of these tools. They need to be able to be fit in their lives. They don't need to walk around in heels and swimsuits. They need to be fit. They need to be able to handle an interview. They need to know what their style is, and they definitely need to figure out what their special talent is so that they can fully express themselves in this world. So I take them to task. I speak my mind about a lot of stuff that could piss people off. But in general, that's been my journey. So it's something that I get so passionate. You know how I can tell when I get passionate about something, Carol? My whole body has turned cold, and my teeth are starting to chatter when I talk about it. What is that? From the shamanic perspective, can you tell me what that is?
Well, you know, it could be that, or it could be spirit chills. It's like where you're so aligned with your purpose that it's like you're getting that. I get it when I'm doing intuitive readings with people. When I'm right on, I get really cold. It's like I get a chill from the top of my head down. So
it's coming from the core. It's my core, and it's my teeth start chattering. And I've noticed it that when I talk about what I'm doing, if somebody asks me, like you just did, I start out, and then all of a sudden, I feel like I'm in an igloo.
Do you think you were put out in the cold in a past life for owning your stuff? You were left out in a winter storm, perhaps?
They kicked me out of the house. They kicked me out of the igloo and out into the snow. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. I swear, it's unnerving when it happens, and I keep thinking, why does this always happen to me? But anyway, so the big change in my life is to totally dedicate myself to commit to writing this book and getting it out there, because it is an important message. And Carol knows that I had a big epiphany this week where I actually said out loud that I'm an expert. And I've been told by many people that I am an expert, but I don't have a degree in psychology or girl women's studies or anything like that. But I really am an expert on what I talk about. And, you know, having raised my daughter and being around a lot of different other girls and people and moms, there's just so many things that I can share that I can help people think about differently to empower their daughters and to empower moms and to be, or and women in general, just to be who they're meant to be. And, you know, so all of that is embracing to say I am committed, and this is what I'm doing, and I just haven't been ready to admit that. So
and I after you claimed you were an expert on this on Monday at lunch, which I had to do a happy dance because she kept saying, no, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are. No, I'm not. Well, I am, but no one will, you know. So we had this little celebration, and I was like, we need to, all of us, SK, me, everyone out there who has this sense from their heart of there's more for me, I want to go bigger, I want to embrace my life, I'm afraid of the commitment, I'm afraid of what that means. That's what this show's about. We're dancing with that. We're dancing with life. We're making it a joyful expression of who we really are. And it's why I love what SK is doing with her book, because she's asking every woman and every girl to do that, to really step out. And that's my purpose in life, is to help people do that, both through my own expression, my own writing, through my healing practice, that we're all really coming from our hearts and letting who we are express out in the world. So I'm looking at the time. I'd love to do a quick little meditation on change, and then we can come back and do a little bit of closing. And does that sound, I think we're right on that time. I see 7 minutes left, so I think we have just about enough time to do that. So
yep.
If everybody who's listening, if you are listening to this on replay on an MP3 download and you're driving your car, please don't close your eyes. But everybody else, take a few nice deep breaths and close your eyes. Just settle for a moment. Sit and be quiet. And allow yourself to connect with your heart energy. And those wounds that have told you that the growth or the changes you want to make or the visions you've had for yourself, the places you've been wounded around those in your heart, where you've been told you're not enough, or we don't do that, or be careful. and imagine a beautiful light shining from above, connected to the source, however you see that, God, the universe. And imagine that light pouring down through your body and filling in all the cracks, all the wounds with pure light. To give you courage. The word courage comes from the heart. So that you can move forward in whatever change you want to make from a stronger heart, from a braver heart. And ask for that help, that support. Call in your guides. Ask for those synchronicities. Those people to show up in the real world with that message, that song on the radio, all those things that will inspire you to have the courage to take the steps, just the next few steps that you need to take. And we breathe and we connect the energy of all the people on this call. We've got a nice turnout today. And those of you listening, we're including you in this circle. We're sending support for whatever your dreams are. Wherever you need courage, wherever you need a hug, wherever you need a you go guy or you go girl. We're uniting the circle, the energy, to allow you to walk more gracefully through the changes you desire and the changes that are in front of you that you have to walk through. A few nice deep breaths, sending a little bit more love out onto the web of connection from this group. So that we all can dance together, expressing our bigger and our more powerful and our more courageous selves. And so it is.
Carol, that's beautiful. You have such a gift with taking.
I can't say synchronicity. I was like, okay, screw it.
Well, so that happened. Oh my gosh. Christ. So if you love this show as much as we do, please, please share it with your friends. Please tell people about it. And we hope that you come back again and again to share this hour with us. It's on Wednesday, 4 o'clock Pacific time, which is 7 o'clock in Ohio, my mama's time. Hey, Mom, if you're listening, I hope you are. Anyway, just share it with people. Tell people about it and join us and make comments and let us know if there's something you want us to talk about. Say, oh, you should do a show topic on this. We'd love to know what you think.
We would love that. Up next on the Creating Calm Network is The Grammar of Grief with Uma Girish. And her guest is Marilee Snyder-Nisiak, and she's talking about near-death experiences, Akashic records, crystal skulls, all sorts of fun stuff. So I posted the event page on our event page, so if you want to pop over, the Blog Talk link for their show is on our event page. Come back next week. Join us. We're going to have some more chatter on the event page this evening. And I posted a Leanne Womack song, which I think most people know, the song I Hope You Dance. And that's really what we hope you do each week, that we give you a little bit of inspiration to dance a little bit more with your life, to be a little bit braver, to go for the things that your heart and your soul are really calling you to do in the world. So I think, are we out of time?
Almost. I believe that we are.
I think we're out of time. So for those of you listening on replay, I apologize again for not hitting the record button, but I think you still got the gist of everything we were talking about in this show, and I promise to do better next week on the record feature. Until next week, we don't have theme music right now because Susan K's beautiful song, There's Something Sacred Here, didn't seem to fit with the Dancing with Life, so I'm looking for new music. So next week we'll have some music, or in the coming weeks. But for now, we're just going to say goodbye, all, and have a great night.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for coming.